Torah Mehil Shishi, Thursday, 12th of December, Parshas Vayechi, Rabbi David Roberts.
So I'd like to share with you this evening an idea which I think is perhaps one of the most important ideas in Yiddishkeit. It's incredibly practical, but to get to it, we first have to understand it and perhaps see it from the more of a philosophical angle. From to understand the Yisoid, to understand the concept, and then see how to apply it. And the way to see this, I think, is as follows. You're all aware, no doubt, of the Mamre Chazal at the beginning of the parasha. Vayechi is a parasha zustuma. This parasha is stuma, it is closed off, there's no gap in the Sefer Torah. And the reason is because Bikish Yaakov legalis is a ketz. Yaakov wanted to reveal the ketz, whatever that means. Zaya says he did manage to reveal it, it's all there, whatever that means. V'nistam mimenu. And it was closed off from him. So he said, as the Gemara tells us in Psachim Nun Vav, he says, Shema chas v'shalom yesh b'mitosi psul. He thought that his inability to reveal, again, whatever that means, it wasn't a date. It's not a question of, okay, don't play golf on that afternoon because Mashiach's going to come. It was a question of understanding the dynamic and the process of that which brings Mashiach. And it was withheld from him. And so therefore he attributed that to his inability to have fathered 12 Shvatim who were Ksheirim. Shemachas v'shalom yesh psul b'mitasi. So, Avram sheyotze mimenu Yishmael. Avram had a Yishmael. Yitzchak had an Esav. So his children said to him, Shema Yisrael, Yisrael our father. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. K'shem she'in b'libcho elo echad, kach ein b'libeinu elo echad. Just as in your heart there is only one, in our collective hearts there is also only one. We are focused solely and exclusively on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Be reassured, that's not the reason. And he responded and said, Baruch Shem, which is a separate inyan. So you see here that there's an emphasis on the concept of Yichud Hashem. Now Yichud Hashem, the unity, the uniqueness and the unity of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is a very big topic. The Ramchal wrote an entire sefer to explain it. That's what Tevunas is all about. Indeed, he says, the Rabbeinu, because, I mean, philosophically, of course, there's a real problem, and that is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is infinite. And I don't know about you, I don't do infinity, barely do mornings. So to have a meaningful relationship with an infinite being is very difficult. It's a problem. And therefore, says the Ramchal, the way that we have a handle on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and really the tachlis of everything we're trying to understand, is through the prism of Achdus, Yichud Hashem, which is defined by a negative. There is no other. And that's not infinite. It's the very definition. The concept is that there is no other. That's not infinite. That I can get. I negate all other. And then focus on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But that's more at the philosophical level. So you see, Al Koponim, that there's a focus here on the Yichud and Achdus Hashem. What does that mean and why does that play itself out here? And I want to give the game away right from the start. There's a theme which plays out in Golus, in Geula, and it is the key to this idea. Let's go right back to the beginning. Mechiras Yosef is the catalyst for Golus, Golus Mitzrayim. Golus Mitzrayim, as you know, of course, the Maral says, is how many Goluyos do we have? Classically, there are four stages of Goluyos. What happened to Mitzrayim? Why is Mitzrayim not included? The answer is Mitzrayim is the prototype. It's the paradigm. Mitzrayim is, it contains within it all of Golus. Ki meitzeis chomeretz Mitzrayim, arenu nifloes. Mitzrayim encapsulates within it all the different stages of Golus. That's what Mitzrayim stands for. That's what it is. And therefore, if we want to understand Golus, we need to look at the catalyst for Golus Mitzrayim. As ever, Rabbi Tzadok, the Vilna Gaon, always says, you want to understand any idea, look for its first manifestation in the Torah. That's its essence. That's its heart. Understand it there, and then everything else is just unfolding and revelation of the key, of the original concept. So if we want to understand Golus, we want to understand Gula, when things go wrong and how we put it all back together again, we look at the catalyst for Golus Mitzrayim. The catalyst for Golus Mitzrayim was Mechiras Yosef. What does it say there? Two things it says. It says that the brothers Vayikanu Bo and Vayisnu Bo, they were jealous and they hated him. When the Golus starts over here, what does Rashi say? Nistamu einehem velibom shel Yisrael mitzaras hashibud. Their eyes and their hearts were clogged up. They were unable to appreciate, to see things as they were. That's Golus. Nistamu einehem velibom shel Yisrael. The eyes and the hearts of Klal Yisrael. Kina, jealousy, comes from a flawed perspective. An inability to see things as they really are. Instead we see them from a skewed, jaundiced perspective, coloured by all our own baggage, all our own ego. That's kinah, that's jealousy. Vayikanu bayechov, that's keneged the einayim, they saw things wrong. And then vayisnu oisai, that's the lave. That's where it all started from. And that's how things manifest, that's how they go wrong. These two parts of the human being, of the yid, as we'll come to later. It occurred to me, therefore, there's no coincidence that Geula, how does Geula start? Vayhi vayom imohem in Shmois, vayigdal Moshe. Moshe has an expanded sense of self. That's what a godel means. Lo chinam that we call our greats, we call them gedolim. Kedoshim, tahirim, chasidim, yishorim, tmimim, lots of appellations, lots of terms we could have used. We use gedolim because a godel is measured, it means somebody whose sense of self doesn't stop at the end of his nose, but it encompasses all of Klal Yisrael. That's who they identify with. That's an expanded sense of self. Vayigdal gedula in Kabbalah is always gedula is chesed. As God lechos is Rashi in verse Hanan zumid as tuvcha. That's what gedula means. That the ability to identify, to be self-aware and to self-actualize beyond yourself and to have an expanded sense of self, that's gedula. So vayhi vayom vayhi vayigdal Moshe vayetze el echo vayav et sivloisom vozot Rashi nosan einov v'liboy lihiyos meitzar aleim. He set his eyes and his heart. He chose. Now we're being recorded. He chose. He was living in the lap of luxury. He wasn't repressed for 27 years in Robben Island. He was living in the lap of luxury. He suffered no repression. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Eibishitz, that's Jewish leadership. That's the Nafkemina. He chose. Nosan einov v'libo ilyos meitzar aleihem. He chose to unclog his eyes and his heart, his intellect and his emotions. Lihiyos meitzar aleihem, to care for them. And that's how the Geula started. So Golus and Geula is framed by the Vayikanu Boyechov and the Vayisnu Oisai, the ayin and the lave, the perspective, the intellect, the way we view things, and the emotions going wrong. Nistamu einehem v'libam, and Geula comes about when somebody chooses to begin to reverse that process and to create the Adam HaShalem. And of course, we are told again and again, V'leisosuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem. Avodazara and Zanus, the two things that can go wrong. Why lev corresponds to Avodazara and einayim to Zanus? The einayim and Zanus is an obvious one. Levin and Avedazar is a more difficult one. Rabbi Hanan has a famous mamma about that, how exactly that works, because of course it's a process. The way I view things is coloured by, I use my brain to see things. But if my brain is warped by my own desires and my own ego, I don't see things properly. We know that, we come across people like that the whole time. They're convinced, they're absolutely convinced they see things right. And of course, that's why Avram Avinu, just mention this maybe, Reb Dessler says famously, we know Avraham Avinu is mitzdayin, he is outstanding in two things, in two areas. One is his midas hachesed, and the other is that he's reish hama'aminim. He embarks on an intellectual odyssey, on a journey, kiven shenigmal eson zeh, hischel shetet bedatay, as the Rambam says at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he intellectually, he worked out there was a borei olam. Everybody else, nobody else managed. What's the interplay? What's the connection between his ability, his eye and his ability to see things properly and his lev and his chesed. Well, it's obvious, if you take yourself out of the picture, if you're able to negate self, the bias, the subjectivity of what I want and what I think, you take that out of the picture, you're somebody who's only focused on altruism and what somebody else needs and what somebody else wants, then that leaves your brain free, straight, balanced, objective. And of course he was able to turn around and say, Avadasa, how could it be otherwise? Doesn't make sense otherwise. That's the impact, that's the connection between the two. And that's the avoid, and that's really what I wanted to try and get to. Our key, our avoida. Because in case I get, sometimes I get carried away, so I'll say the practical thing now. Do it the other way around. Man is a very, very strange creature. We are the ultimate paradox. Mitzad echad, we are part angel, part animal. We have a neshama, tahira. The kind of shamshan sad to be tahira, he is a chelek alekami mal, and there is nothing that is more antithetical to ruchnius than gashmius. There cannot be any two things that are more polar opposites. And somehow, within the mortal coil, we have within us, we're housing something that is totally, totally ruchni. Totally and utterly ruchni, says the Rama famously in Siman Vav, umafli la'asos. What a pella, what a wondrous thing, it's unbelievable. Because you'd think that to keep the neshama in the body, what would you need to do? Torah mitzvahs. What happens if you stop doing Torah mitzvahs? Still stay alive, but you stop eating, you die. Mafli lasos, it's a pella. But how do we combine these two? What is the avoda? The avoda is, it's a cycle, it's an ongoing cycle. We have, let's go straight to the point. Nasev and Nishma. What's Nasev and Nishma? Nasev and Nishma is precisely that. It is the commitment. The commitment was an emotional commitment. Here the process is slightly reversed. Einayim v'libom. It's fascinating. It's slightly reversed. And it's incredibly important that way. Why? What does Nasev mean? Nasev means, Rabbeinu Shalom, we'll do it. We'll do it. One minute, what does it say? Does it make sense? Does it add up? I don't know. I trust you. I trust you. That's an emotional commitment. Nasev, we'll do it. But then we don't stop there, because if that would be the case, and some people, this is where, if it isn't applied correctly, it can go wrong. People get a sense of, okay, we'll do it, that's it, it's done, finished. I don't need to think, I park my brain and my personality at the door when I become frum, or when I act as a frum yid. That's not true. Kodem kol is the nase. I do it. Why? That's an intellect, that is an emotional commitment. And that was a response to the Hakdama that the Rabbeinu Shalom said, I'll say in a minute, when he gave us the Torah. Nase, we'll do it. But then the work starts. Okay, I'll now spend the rest of my life. I know that I'm never going to understand fully. It's only ever a question, because we're talking about the mind of the Rabbeinu Shalom, the infinite. I'll be able to keep pushing back that wall. The more I learn, the more I understand, the more meaningful it will become. And then the harder the nisoyan of doing it only because I understand it. Because the more I learn, the higher I set the bar, and the more difficult it becomes to actually then go and do it just because you want me to do it. The way Reb Dessler puts it beautifully, Reb Dessler says, think about it, we have two main ways of connecting to the Rabbeinu Shalom if you think about it. We have Torah and we have Tefillah. And the way I like to maybe just explain it is the following. Let's take the Moshel, the Shir of Rav Asher Arieli Shlita in Mir. The largest daily black shear in the world. Is it 600? Is it more now? I don't know. Hundreds and hundreds. Misalta v'shamna shel klal Yisrael. The cream of the crop. Talmidei Chachamim, young Talmidei Chachamim, sitting there hanging on to his every word. Torah is the way that we self-actualize. That's using your brain to the nth degree, working it out. That's an expression of self through the prism of Torah. And a second later, he finishes Shia, and they're all there on this incredible high. He's taken them to incredible depths, the geschmack of the way of Pshat, the way he says Pshat in a Tosfos, in his, if you've ever heard him, in his quiet, understated way, but with the majesty, the splendor of who and what he is. And then 30 seconds later, closes his Gemara. The Davin's Minchi opens and, like a little child. self-negation, humiliation, hachnoah, that balance, that's the key word. There's the Torah, which is the expression of self, and then there is the tefillah, which is total hisbatlus to the Rabbeinu Shlom. Everything that I just managed to achieve, Baruch Atah Hashem Chayin Hadas, everything came from you. It's that balance, that's an emotional awareness. Torah is intellect, tefillah is primarily the hargoshes. The words are just the vehicles for those hargoshes. And the challenge, really, of being an Elch Yid is precisely that balance, of trying to achieve that balance. The moyach, the lev, the intellect and the emotions, and they come together, and they both have to work in sync. There has to be clarity. We keep learning, we keep understanding, we keep pushing those barriers back further and further. We never stop learning. At the same time, there has to be that emotional component. We are sentient beings. And that's an incredibly important part of who we are. And managing to mesh the two, that's Yira and Ahavah, managing to mesh the two together to create an Odom HaSholem is the goal. The Einehem V'Libom. When it goes wrong, that's what it's Asura Achri Levavchem V'Achri Nechem. When it goes right, Nosan Eino V'Libay Liyos Meitzar Aleim and Geula ensues, and that's Achdus, that's Yichud Hashem, Yichud in the Shvatim, and Yichud HaBayre. Let's just, that was the key idea that I wanted to try and put over. That's the more, at a practical level. Baruch Hashem, there's a bit of time left, so we can go through some of the Torah. There is a beautiful idea from Rav Hutna, where he explains, and he goes through the, as no doubt you are aware, because we see this in Yiddishkeit, there are many, many different threes. Three plays a very, very prominent role. So many different things. And what they all mean is the following idea. Lahavdil, philosophers talk about it in the following terms: thesis, antithesis or antithesis, and synthesis. It's where there is a concept, an idea. It is then, there is tension is created by its opposite, and the resolution of those two, of them being in sync, in harmony, in balance, creates a new whole that is greater than the sum of its parts. Yet it contains and combines and balances the disparate elements within it to create something new and majestic. And therefore, of course, you have Avram and the emesis, because there's always patterns within patterns. In Avram you find both things. Like I said before, he had the chesed and he had the emunah. He had them both. But his primary middah, the middah that he's known for, umatzos is levavoy ne'emon lefonecha. It's his chesed. That's what he's known for primarily. Yitzchak, on the other hand, is Midas Adin. There are many rayas. If anybody wants to know exactly what the rayas are, have a look in Maral Netzach Yisrael Perikid Gimel. Yitzchak corresponds more to Ayin. Ein Ledayan, his middah was Midas Adin. That's more looking inwards. It's the opposite of Chesed. Chesed is what is undeserved. Din is only what is exactly deserved. They're opposites. And it's very, very difficult to reconcile them. So Yitzchak was the opposite. Din, ein ledayan al masha ein av royos. And together, and each of them, they, as you know, they go through a refining process. There is the dross, if you like, of this spiritual refining process that comes out from Avram in Yishmael, which is the Avodah Zarah, which is the Znus, rather. And from Yitzchak you have Esav, which is Avodah Zarah. She passed by Avodah Zarah, he wanted to go out. Again, these two key Averas. And then they combine with each other. They marry. Esav goes and marries Mochalas Pas Yishmael. That's the Na'aseh Esav and Nishma of Yishmael. And they combine together and they have the Amalek ensues. It's the other side of Na'aseh and Nishma. Na'aseh is the emotional commitment. Nishma is the intellectual commitment. That's the two processes also in Matan Torah, of course. First, the Rabbeinu Shleilam, it's always that way. The Rabbeinu Shleilam makes an approach to us. I mean, just very, very briefly. Rabbeinu Shlom makes an approach to us, and he says in Shmos Yutes, Moshe Olam Elikim, and the Rabbeinu Shlom says to him, Kaysoim al Beisakev Sagid al Beisakev Levnei Yisrael, this is what you should tell them. Atem Re'isim Asher Sisi Le Mitzrayim, Vo Esra Eschem Al Kanfe Nesharim, Ba'ovi Eschem Eloi. Look what I've done for you. Look what I did to Egypt. I lifted you up on the wings of eagles and I brought you to me. If you just listen to me, Ushmatim is Barisi, Beisimli Segula Mikolamim, you'll be my treasure. That's it. That's the platform upon which we are offered Torah. So much so that Rashi says, that Hashem says to Moshe, don't embellish the script. It's the most important sales pitch in history. They just have to buy it, because otherwise there is no world. That's the end. On what platform was it offered? Look what I've done for you. Look how I care for you. Respond in kind, and we did. Naseh, we'll do it, Rabbi Shlomo. That's emotional commitment. We trust you. We can see that you love us, what you've done for us. We trust you. The Rosh Hashanah said, okay, that was good. Now I'm going to split open the seven heavens and I'm going to force you. Intellectual compulsion. You've had the lathe, now it's going to come the iron. It's got to be that way. So we have Avram, back to Rav Huttner, we have Avram, who is Mitzrayim in Midas HaChesed. The impurity comes out in Ishmael. We have Yitzchak, the impurity comes out in Esav. And then we have Yaakov. And Yaakov is mitosoi shlema. Yaakov has, that's it, the process is finished. The way Rav Huttner used to say it, is that Avram was a gevorana, Yitzchak was a geborana, and Yaakov given a fafalana. If you speak Yiddish, you'll get it. Avram was the first one, was a gevorana, he became, he originated. Yitzchak was the first one, was a geborana, he was born, heirosei veleidosei bikdusha. And finally, Yaakov is mitosei shleima, no more impurities. And he combines the Avram and the Yitzchak inside of him, and he brings out Torah, Emes, Tiferes, whichever way you want to look at it. Splendor, the majesty of Torah, of Emes, the ability to balance when chesed, when din. But says Rav Huttner, it's not finished. Because although from that point on, there will always be a Klal Yisrael, but will there? There's still a problem. The problem is that the halacha is that if chas v'shalom, a Yid has a relationship with a Goya, then the child is lost to Klal Yisrael. So the fact that Yaakov was mitosei shleima, and there was no impurities in him, didn't necessarily mean that there would be an ongoing kiyum hamin of Klal Yisrael. We still have a problem. Says Rav Huttner, this is where Yosef comes into the picture. Yosef, more than anyone perhaps, although you find duality in Yaakov, time doesn't permit to go into this, but we find in Yosef perhaps more than any the ayin and the lave, the how he had within himself, both from Avram and Yitzchak and certainly from Yaakov, the duality. I'll show you opposites within Yosef himself, because he was both an Av and a Ben. Mishom Roya Even Yisrael, Av and Ben. That's why says Rav Huttner, his death is mentioned in Bereishis and in Shmos as Ben and as Av. He was the son, but he was also a father. He had two shvatim. And what does he bring to the party, so to speak? That ability to withstand temptation, that particular temptation. Yosef had tzaddik. Imbues in Klal Yisrael the ability to withstand immoral temptation at Seif Kol HaDoros, thus ensuring that Yaakov remains an Av. Reuven made him an Av. Yaakov ensures that he remains an Av for all time. And he has that duality within him. Very, very interesting. Yosef, you would think, he says, Esolekim ani yorei. Yiras Shemaim. What's Yiras Shemaim? You'd think that somebody that's full of Yiras Shemaim manifests, by the way, in passivity, in inactivity. He is tempted and he withstands. He resists. Somebody whose primary midah is Yira, you would think, is somebody who would be quite a cold fish, potentially. Chesed is warm, loving, outgoing. You'd think that Yosef is the other way around. Do you know who cries the most in Tanakh? Yosef. Nobody cries more than in Tanakh than Yosef. He's the person that holds himself back from this incredible temptation. And then, v'lo yochel Yosef lehisapeg. No, he can't hold himself back. He's got this duality. He unifies those polar opposites within him. Yaakov, Avram faces temptation with Yishmael. He's got a nisayon with a Yishmael. Yitzchak has with an Esav. Yaakov has both types, says the Rama Mipano very beautifully. Yaakov, because he combines both, faces a Lavan and an Edom. Lavan is white, Edom is the red. Lavan is the white, the grey matter. Lavan tricks him. And Edom is Esav, is the passion. Again, these two concepts coming again and again. It's the intellectual clarity that we need, followed by the emotional consistency. It actually starts with the emotions. It's emotional commitment, intellectual clarity, and then emotional commitment, and keeping that cycle going. What Yosef then brings to the party, I'll just finish with some remazim. There's much more to say, but what Yosef, he then has two shvatim, and the truth is, if you look into Menashe and Ephraim and their descendants, the same thing plays out again. But then there becomes, from 12, there becomes 13. 13 is in very special gematria. The Sforim HaKadoshim talk about this. 13 is gematria Echod, gematria Ahava, we're back to square one. And it even, in the deeper Sforim, they talk about the fact that in every 3D object, there are, as you know, 12 lines. And the 13th point is the centre that holds it all together and makes it into one object. And says the Shlach HaKadosh, that's the way we connect to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Yud Gimel Midas Shahatirin Adreshus Bahen. Intellectual commitment. That's how we darshan the Torah. And the Yud Gimel Ikrim of Emunah, of commitment, of Emunah to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And we connect to him and we commit to him at those two levels, as a balanced yid, with our heart and with our mind. And he responds with a Yud Gimel Midas. The last one of which is V'nakeh le'yinakeh, yinakeh la'shovim. That whatever happens, that last one, that final commitment that he has to us, is that there is no such thing as a yid that can't do teshuva. Yinakeh, whatever happens, that's the 13th, that's the final one. Putting together these ideas, what we come out with, there's much more to say. But what we come out with is an idea that to be a yid is to be able to balance within ourselves these twin ideas, because we contain these two parts. On the one hand, we have a brain and we have a heart. And that's the Na'aseh Nishma. It's the coming together of Avram and Yitzchak representing these two things, which creates the Yaakov, which creates the Yosef, who manages to combine within himself. And that's really the challenge. If we look around, Torah, the Maral always says, is Seder Achayim. You've got Avodah, Gemilas Hasadim, but Torah is the one that's Ma'achid. When to know when to act in different ways and to different circumstances. And the hardest thing of all, perhaps, to achieve, extremes are attractive. The hardest thing of all is within oneself to have the balance, the Na'aseh V'Nishma, the commitment which is both intellectual and emotional. I'll leave it there.